You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and tonight's topic is, what is the greatest power trio of all time? So we're going to be talking about that. You can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to get more information on all the podcasts. We've got tons and tons and tons and tons and of them up there.
Tons?
We have tons. We have from all kind of cool artists. So check that out, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. When you see podcasts you like, please share them around. This helps to promote the artists. Speaking of that, if you're watching us, those of you hanging out with us live tonight, please hit the share button on your Facebook there and share the podcast, because that's going to get promotion for the great bands that we're going to be playing tonight. And I'm going to give you I'm going to run those down in a second. But first of all, at that LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, one more thing. There is the merch page, so just go ahead and click over that. Get yourself a T-shirt or something very cool. Helps us out. Shows us that you love us. Shows us that you support great guitar-driven rock. Tonight, we have with us live in the studio, we've got Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio sitting right next to me here.
What's up?
And from a slightly different time zone, we've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins from down in New Orleans. How you doing, Keith?
All right. What's up?
He's doing all right.
Thanks for
We're ready to do something
rock
good.
Fan.
Okay.
Yeah, we're awesome.
Awesome. So we got Keith and Lily hanging out with us tonight. We got some people checking in with us live. Like I said, guys, chime in, share your opinions. We're going to kind of like go through a bunch of different power trios here at the beginning. We haven't really talked about how we're going to do this, but we're going to run down some of the different things you guys talked about, some of your comments, kind of discuss some of the big ones, and then at the end we're going to try to pick one. You know how it is, the three different people with three different backgrounds and different music tastes, could be interesting. So we're going to be doing that tonight. I'm going to give you a little preview of what you're going to be hearing on the podcast tonight. The bands that we're going to be rocking out to are 86 Bullets, Silk 9, Pittsburgh's own Silk 9, Epica, and the aptly named Epica, because when you hear them, you'll know what I mean, why their music is just freaking epic. And but we're going to open the show with a band that just did a show here in Pittsburgh the other night, Neverwake. I got to meet these guys, and we did a cool show with them, a cool interview with them. You can find that on LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, so check that out. This is Neverwake, Suffocate, on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Time has come to
All right, that is the band Neverwake. You can go to neverwakemusic.com to check out what those guys have going on. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, and you can hear my interview with those guys from a few days ago. So Neverwake on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Real quick, before we get into our subject tonight, if you'd like to get some behind-the-scenes stuff, I'm doing some cool features now, some mini-podcasts where I feature, we do on specific topics, like I'm doing a topic on the blues in rock and metal, and I'm doing a topic on the most wicked riffs of all time. So you can, if you want to see me work on those, you want to chime in on those, you can go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle and you get some cool behind the scenes stuff. Lily chimes in once in a while. Sometimes Keith and I get on there and mix it up. So LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Okay, so the greatest power trio of all time. Now, before we kind of just blow our wad and just say it, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. But let's go ahead and talk about some of the maybe lesser known but definitely cool power trios that have you know, been important to rock and metal. So, Keith, you want to chime in with what do you got there?
Yeah, I think one of the ones that go, they're not totally unknown, but I think that they were a band that unfortunately didn't go as far as they could have, or maybe should have, or would have, whatever. But take a band like King's X. King's X is probably not just underrated power trio; they're probably one of the most underrated bands of all time. I mean, that band had great harmonies, great players, and just wrote great songs. I think they just were in a time where it was kind of like, I don't know how they were just, you know, they just weren't marketed the right way, or just couldn't be marketed as, you know, they come around in like the late 80s even, then they're going through the 90s when the hair metal thing's going on, they weren't any of that. And then they come around with, you know, they're still hanging through the 90s and even the 2000s. And it's hard to market a band like that that don't really fit the mold of what everybody else is doing, which is why I love the band. But I think that they could have been huge, but just didn't catch that break, I guess. So, but as a power trio goes, I think they're probably one of the most underrated bands probably ever. I mean, I think they're just amazing band. Lou, where'd you?
Sorry.
He's here.
King's X. Yeah, now sometimes we've mentioned this sort of problem in pop music before, where you get certain bands that are really, really good, and the songs are right, the look is right, and everything, but for some reason they never really kind of break through. And I think some of that has to do with timing, you know.
It is.
You know, because King's X is a kind of, they've got the sort of progressive vibe on some of their earlier stuff.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, they kind of came in just to sort of like, you know, grunge and all that started happening too. And they really weren't 80s hair metal. And they definitely weren't grunge. You know, they were kind of like, where, and I think a lot of radio programmers and stuff kind of shied away from them because they weren't quite sure what to do with King's X. Like, where do we put these guys? They're awesome, but we don't know how to fit them in, you know? And this is a good example. We could do a show on this. Actually, I wanted to do a topic on this of bands that are wildly respected by other bands that actually influence music, but you don't know them because, you know, they influence some of your favorite bands, but you don't know them that well because they themselves didn't really have big, like, make a big radio or MTV splash. So that's a good topic, but King's X definitely fits in that topic. Lily, what do you got?
Well, I don't really know a whole lot of power trios. In fact, I only really know the big ones. I know them and I didn't know that they were power trios because I'm not a musician, so I don't know these things. But I have on here, this is not my favorite one, obviously, but I have Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble up until 1985. It was a power trio, and I'm not a huge fan of Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I do like a lot of his stuff, just not like, it's not something I'm going to listen to all the time, but I think it's very important in rock because he was kind of bluesy, he's a great guitar player, so that was on my list of ones I liked, and I sort of know.
Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble. You know, that might fall into that category of, you know, a guitar player and it was a backup band. But because they were so huge, We'll go ahead and take it. Okay. Why not? Why not? Let's we'll run. Hey, it's my podcast.
You do what you want.
I like Lily, so.
Well, thanks.
We'll let Lily.
I would hope since you let me come over here.
You know, we'll give that one to Lily. No, but no, it's very, very important band as well. Here's one. I'm going to pull one out from way back days.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And nobody's mentioned this on any of the posts or anything. And I don't think Keith was going to mention. Maybe he was. Emerson, Lake and Palmer. You know, progressive band started about 1970. With Keith Emerson, Greg Lake, and Carl Palmer.
Carl Palmer.
Mm-hmm. So you want to didn't they work with Cozy Powell at some point as well, Keith?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it was Emerson, Lake, and Powell for a while too.
Yeah, yeah, but not really in this band. The keyboard sort of took the place of the guitar. You know, although Greg Lake did play some guitar. He did play some acoustic guitar and stuff like that, but a very interesting band for their day. You know, at the time when everybody was playing guitars, I mean, these guys were more keyboard oriented, but they still broke into rock. They were very, if you listen to any of your classic rock stations out there, you're going to hear probably at least one Emerson, Lake, and Palmer song every day, at least one. You know. In the 80s and 90s, you would hear several. Now they're usually relegated to things like, you know, the Oldies Hour or what they have in Pittsburgh, the Electric Lunch or something like that. But very influential power trio. Go ahead, Keith. What do you got?
One of the first bands that when I was a kid, I noticed that I was like looking at like, you know, pictures on a vinyl or, you know, just and I'm looking and I'm counting the members. I'm like, there are only three guys in this band. But I mean, the guitar player, frontman, takes all the spotlight, but the Jimi Hendrix Experience, from top to bottom, where Mitch Mitchell is a great drummer, Noel Redding is a guitar player, turn bass player, so I mean, and Jimi Hendrix is a legend. That band, for three people, made a lot of freaking music, and they were one of those bands that just come out through the 60s until, you know, Jimmy's demise. I mean, they were just bringing down like a lot of really, really good material. Some bands don't last as long as you would like, but that's a really good example of a power trio where there's no weak link in that chain, man. They're all really good. I mean, Jimi Hendrix is a great guitar player, but the rest of them guys, that rhythm sections, they're super bad, man, really.
Awesome.
And they were using the wah-wah pedal a lot, too, like the start of using that, them and Cream.
Yeah, Cream and Jimi Hendrix Experience, yeah.
Which is one of my favorite things. I know that's sad, but I love the wah-wah pedal.
So we know the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and like I, you know, when Keith and I were and Lily were talking about this, you know, we all were, you know, right away. I know Keith and I went to the R word, which we're going to reserve till a little bit later on. But I said, I think you're going to get a lot of people saying no, Jimi Hendrix Experience, and as well Cream. I mean Cream, right, Lily?
Eric Clapton,
Ginger Baker, mm-hmm. and Jack Bruce, all dynamite musicians. I mean, yep. I don't know. I mean, I would put Geddy Lee and Jack Bruce kind of like, in terms of bass playing, very close in terms of, you know, the type of bass playing that they do, kind of busy type playing. Ginger Baker, I mean, let's just compare, not who's better, Keith, but sort of do like a little, as a drummer, compare and contrast Ginger Baker and Neil Peart on a couple points. Just to kind of give people who aren't musicians a little bit of an idea of how they might be a little similar and how they might be a little different.
I think the use of tom-toms and just the use of a bigger kit, where a lot of times guys were using the more scaled down kits. Like
John Bonham used a smaller kit, yeah.
Yeah, the smaller kit. I mean, compared to those guys, of course, you know. But you're going to get a lot of big, heavy drum fills. Granted, they have great time and they're a great pocket player, but they also have chops, so they're going to take that stuff, especially with Ginger being like, just I've seen documentaries on Netflix, so it's called Beware of Mr. Baker, if you ever seen this. The guy's insane, but he can play, he's cool, and he was like definitely one of those guys ahead of their time where he would go and throw African rhythms in a song and just do different things. And they were just, it was different than just playing a 2-4 the entire time. He explored the entire drum set to where he can, you know, definitely make a statement. I even think his simplicity sometimes in a song like Sunshine Your Love, just using the tom instead of just kick, snare, and hat, really drove that song. And he's just pretty good at just playing good, intelligent drum parts. And then you go to the professor and you'll hear it the same way, where the music's very progressive and he's thinking about those drum parts. It's just not a beat in the verse. It's not just going to another beat in the chorus. These parts are well thought out. These guys are very intelligent musicians, which I, you know, you would expect for a band of that caliber, those three-piece band. There can't be anybody like slacking, you know, putting, you know, they got to put forth your best effort. And that definitely, that's why I love Power Trio, three-piece bands, because a lot of that stuff is just everybody coming together. That has to be very cohesive, or it's gonna just,
yeah,
one thing falls, it's over with, man.
Yeah. So we hit Jimi Hendrix Experience. We talked about Cream. I want to throw in Ben Folds Five, which is another keyboard oriented band. But this time, when the original Ben Folds Five came out, the bass player, I think his name is Robert Sledge, the way he played the bass with distortion and whatnot, I gave it that crunch that the guitar would do. So great songwriting. So if you're not really familiar with Ben Folds Five, you should definitely check them out. They are very they were huge in the 90s and awesome band, great musicianship, great songwriting, power trio. So
they're a good player. I never got to see that band live. That's a good pick. They were huge in the 90s. I mean, it's one of them bands you want to check out. There's more than just Brick, man. Don't just listen to Brick and be like, okay, that was a nice radio hit for them. It's pretty straightforward. But listen to those like first few records. There's some really good stuff on those records. So
there's a very cool tribute out there, tribute album to Burt Bacharach. And Ben Folds Five performs Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And they just rock the living crap out of it. It's
I like
awesome.
That song.
It's awesome. Very cool. We're here. Okay. So, okay. All right. So let's take it. You and Lily, Keith, you guys got another pick?
You have another pick, Lily?
Yeah, go
ahead. Oh, go ahead. Are you going?
All right. No, go ahead.
I'll go. I was going to pick the Police next. They were like huge, one of the most successful new wave mainstream bands that were a trio. They were influenced by punk, reggae, and jazz, and not a bad band. I mean, it's not something I would listen to every day, but I feel that they're sort of important as a power trio.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely a power trio for sure. What do you got, Keith?
Who?
What do you got?
I said the Police.
She said the Police. What do you got?
Never heard of them.
Surprise.
I think one that would carry over into the 80s. And I think the guy that led this band probably changed music several times. A band like the Stray Cats shouldn't go unnoticed in this thing, because they are a trio. And Brian Setzer gets all the love. Great guitar player. I like to do guitar playing. He pretty much sort of changed the landscape of music with the rockabilly thing. Then he did the big band thing later on with his own orchestra. But with Lee Rocker and Slim Jim Phantom and Brian Setzer, those three really had something, and it's just, they were one of those bands when they came on the radio. It was a throwback, but it was still catchy enough to keep people's attention throughout the 80s. When you still listen to like Straight Cat Strut, Rock This Town, Sexy and 17, all the hits, that sounds like something from the 1950s, but it still is marketable. And when those songs come on the radio now, they're still catchy as hell, and they're all good players. And I mean, I couldn't stand up and play a drum like Slim Jim Phantom the whole night. Shit, man. I mean, the dude stands up and plays. That's all.
I saw a rockabilly band in the late 80s called the Paladins that had a very kind of Stray Cat vibe to it. And the drummer did the standing up thing, and the guy played the stand up bass. And that style of music, that's a whole other thing, you know. If you can, but the way the Stray Cats could do it, I mean, because Brian Setzer had that jazz background, they really took that in a whole other direction. I mean, I think people are kind of like don't realize how sophisticated actually some of that, some of what they did was. Great pick, Keith. I've forgotten about those guys as a power trio.
Those dudes can play. I mean, Cesar gets all the attention, but, like, you know, that'd be a good trivia question if you name the rhythm section, but that's a band that I think just really should be mentioned in this, and they shouldn't just be forgotten because they did a lot of really cool music. And Brian Setzer is, like I said, Chase, he's changed, like, the landscape of rock a couple times just by himself.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, and then his solo stuff, too, is a little bit more like Americana, alternative, you know, and then he does the big band stuff. So, yeah. Okay, so before we go to before we go ahead and play Epica, why don't you go ahead and throw out, Lily, some of the comments that we have from our friends who are watching live. Let's want to give shout outs to everybody. We really appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight.
Mickey Hernandez, King's X. Yeah. Jimmy Wysocki, King's X. let me see here. Allison Chains, Mickey Hernandez. Wow, Mickey, you're talkative tonight, bud. Jason Heron, Rush. Jason Pinkney, the Stray Cats. And that's all I see right now because I'm backed up on comments.
Right, that's what happens when we're trying to do it, you know, in the moment, as they say. To jump, when I come back, I'll jump over to some of the comments we had on.
There were more on our event.
We do post event, guys, you can go in and make your comments there, and we will definitely give you guys a shout out as well. But we're gonna play another band. This is Epica. I love the title of this track. Not Wheel of Fortune. Almost. This is Wheel of Destiny. Epica on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circuit.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you think this is funny? This?
That is Epica. It is not funny. It is Epica, like as in epic. Just an epic with a at the end. And you can go to epica.nl. I think NL is what? Netherlands. And check those guys out. Not exact. I know. They're not exactly an indie metal band, but a great metal band. And that you're definitely not hearing. If you hear Epica on the X or DVE, no, you don't. So that's why we play them. I love that band. Just killer musicianship, not a power trio. One of the things we were talking about while Epica was rocking out was why there are power trios in the first place. And Keith and I were talking, both of us being musicians, have a theory on that. What were we saying about that, Keith?
I think a lot of people just go the route of the power trio, and you see it nowadays where people are going the route of two people because some people are so damn irresponsible they can't even get three to five, four people in a room to make a basic rock and roll type band where you can't just get these people because they got, I got to go to this place, I got to go to that place. Yeah, life gets in the way, but it's hard to get several people in a room together. I think that you'll see, eventually you're going to see a no man stage. This is play a goddamn track, and that's it.
Well, you're getting at least that's reliable.
Trio to the, now you got a lot of bands that are just duos now, and yeah, they're doing well.
Yeah, so yeah. We've seen several of those.
Yeah, you see one person, then nobody.
Well,
we're just gonna play.
Yeah, we're just gonna hit this button. I'll see you
on
later.
The iPod, because yeah, I was gonna say tape.
There's a Mad Men marathon on tonight. I'm sorry. We're just gonna play a tape, and I'll be back tomorrow. You know.
Tape. Yeah. I just aged myself.
Band, like Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah. So what do you think about that, dude? Like Dio touring again as a hologram.
I don't like that.
I think it's stupid.
I don't like that. That's so stupid.
I mean, I don't get it. I'm like, are they paying the hologram? What's he making? I mean, I'm probably more than me, but I don't get the whole, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's weird to me. It's bizarre. I don't really get it. I mean, if you're really
it's
trying,
definitely
if you're
not
hard
the same.
But, you know.
And another aside was, and I saw this on social media this week. There's an article about Meatloaf touring. They're going to do a Meatloaf reunion with Jim Steinman and everything. First of all, not all the original members are going to be in it, but most of them. And Meatloaf is not going to sing.
What?
He's going to bring some kid on from American Idol to sing, and he's just going to, like, tell the stories of the song. And I'm like, you know, here's the thing, man. You know, Axel, David Coverdale, Meatloaf, if you guys would take care of yourselves, work with a really good vocal coach, there is no reason why at 60, whatever, 70 you are, that you could not get up and perform that music.
Right.
Get your shit together. That is just, it's inexcusable. Somebody like Meatloaf or somebody like David Coverdale, you know, who, I mean, you know, getting up there and trying to croak out. No, just take care of yourself. There's got, you know, a lot of people, well, I have nodes on my, Bill Medley. You guys know who Bill Medley is?
I know the name.
He's one of the vocalists in Righteous Brothers.
Yes, that's it. That's
okay?
How I know that.
Yeah. And he was told in the 80s, you'll never sing again. You're done. And he was in L.A., and he ran into a guy, and he's like, he was a vocal coach. He's like, I can fix that. And Bill Medley's like, no, you don't understand. I can never sing again. He's like, trust me. Just come to me, and I'll fix that. And then he did. And then he did the big hit with the song from Dirty Dancing. Huge hit. You know what I mean? And he sounded just like he did, you know, in the 60s or 50s and 60s with the Righteous Brothers. So it can totally be done.
It's funny you mention that song, Lou, because every week when we do the podcast, I'm having a time of my life.
and nobody
puts me in a corner either, bro.
And most of the female vocalists do not have this problem. Celine Dion, Cher, they all sound good. Well into Debbie Harry, they all sound good. Well into their mature years.
Oh, you're not gonna say ages on that?
Joan Jett, they all sound good. Just, you know. So you men, get your shit together. Stop partying. Stop doing coke.
Yeah.
All right. I'm done with that tangent. Anyways, so we're talking about power trios. We had some people chime in this week on our
invite.
On our invite for Facebook event. And Brian Spotty says Mo, Larry, and Curly.
All right. I mean, right? Sure.
I'll Why not? what is it? There's another funny one here by Fran Crasher says, what did he say? He said, I think he said the Marx Brothers or something silly. Mike Tuval said Triumph.
There you go.
A lot of people from Canada are like Rush, but, you know, Triumph is Canada's other power
trio. The other one.
Yeah.
The other guys.
What about ZZ Top? What do you guys think of ZZ Top?
That's what I was going to bring up. The little band from Texas. I mean, hey, when it comes to the power trio, the stripped down, raw, bluesy rock music, who does not like ZZ Top? I love ZZ Top before they made the song Legs. If they wouldn't have did that, we'd have been great. But before that song, they were awesome. That those first the albums in the 70s, up into Eliminator, all that raw blues stuff, I really, really like. After that, they got with the videos and this and that. I mean, it's just got to be too much for me. But
they got out of control, didn't they, Keith?
Yeah. I mean, who wants to see those hot chicks in videos as bullshit and cool cars? I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's...
Sounds like
But then when it comes to the... Billy Gibbons has his own voice. He has his own guitar sound. I mean, you got Frank Beard, who doesn't have a beard. Go figure.
Ironically,
he's laying on the bucket and Dusty Hill's laying on a cool, solid bass line and can sing, too. So that band... And they've been around, I think, since the dinosaurs, and they roll on,
Seems
man.
Like 69-ish. 69-er.
They've had a really long career, man. I mean, not as long as the Stones, but a long career. You know?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I saw them live, and I loved it. And Billy smiles the entire show. The entire show. I love it.
He's probably stoned.
He might be.
There's a... and he's got a 19-year-old wife or something. Mm-hmm. I saw them live as well. I thought they were great. And there's a very cool concert video that came out on about 5 years ago or so that's very good, where they sound just freaking awesome. And you guys should check it out if you want to. What about...
Is that the one they play beats a minute?
What'd you say?
Is that the one video where they play every song like 60 beats a minute?
I don't know.
I seen one live video and every song was so damn slow.
You want to name another band, or do you want me to throw some at you guys? Who wants to chime
in? I
want to
go.
Go ahead.
Can I go?
Go ahead.
I think one of the best power trios of all time and one of the most unique bands of all time. I'm not biased or nothing, but this band right here is amazing. Primus is a kick-ass band from top to bottom, man. You have the amazing playing of Les Claypool. I can't tell you the drummers. They've had so many. I know their names, but that's a revolving door. And Larry Lalonde might be the most unsung hero in the history of rock and roll. Look at that guy, what kind of job he has. Awesome guitar player, but he doesn't get any of the pub because you have a guy playing a six-string bass with a freaking whammy bar on it next to you, and you're going to sit there and try to one-up that? No, you can't do it. That band's amazing. They're open for Rush. They've pretty much blazed a trail with their own musical genre called Primus. I think it is a musical genre. It's in the Library of Congress. so you basically look up, you know, in Library of Congress, and it'll say Primus, musical genre, and cool-ass rock band. So that's
Primus, great things. Band.
Primus just is a great band. The music's not for everybody, but you should listen to them because they're cool.
They still broke. I mean, like, they had, you know... Winona's Big Brown Beaver and a few songs like that. That My Name Is Mud. And they got on the radio. They had big MTV songs. I mean, people know who they are. Like, you know, I mean, that, you know, they're like recognizable. So it's not like they are like some really obscure band. I mean, most people know who like rock, know who, even they may not know, name a bunch of Primus songs. They know basically who Primus is. That weird guy smokes a pipe and plays that crazy looking bass. Yeah.
I'm sure, like, all these people out there that are potheads, you know, go and you get stoned, and what's the first thing you do? You go watch South Park, and who the hell you think's doing that theme song on that? So there you go.
Yep. What do you got, Lily?
You're watching South Park about that.
My next one's going to be Motorhead. Love Lemmy. He was in it from the beginning till the end, till his unfortunate death. They had 22 albums. I'm sorry, they just rocked. I could. It's. They have a lot of fast songs, which I really like, but you can understand them, so it's not like crazy metal. They're part of the new wave of British heavy metal, and they've had many lineup changes, many.
making a sort of branch of Motorhead, great pick. Making it, and this is a very. This is a much more obscure band. It's a kind of an offspring of Motorhead, and with Fast Eddie and Pete Way, called Fastway.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a. I thought that that was a cool power, short lived, but cool songs.
That was definitely cool. Hey, say what you will, but they were a good band.
Thanks.
We need a rim
shot there, but yeah, go ahead.
The one thing I like about Motorhead, though, is that they're not going to continue on without Lemmy. So. I kind of respect
that. And what about this? Have you guys heard this? That somebody's trying to do some kind of Primus reunion. Not Primus.
They're coming.
Sorry.
To-
I'm not. I mean,
wait, I was going to say
Pantera. Pantera. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Keith's shirt. Pantera.
No, I won't go see that.
No, I mean Vinny and Dime are gone. Dude, come on, man.
Bye. You can't do that. You cannot do that. That's why
Don't do it. Bullshit if they do it. It's ridiculous.
I won't go.
That's just, I mean, I'm sorry, man. Like, that's,
You can't do it. It's not going to work.
No, absolutely.
Primus is coming to Biloxi in September, though. I think
They're going to be here sometime. I can't remember when.
I would love to see them. I've never seen them live. Okay, and just a couple of.
There's the Marx Brothers.
Yeah. Not the Marx Brothers. Here's a kind of an obscure band, and I don't know if either one of you guys know any of their songs.
Oh, I know which one you're going to say.
Is a band called Zebra.
Yeah.
Which the lineup was guitar, keyboards, and drums. They were power trio as well. Like early 80s, their big song was Who's Behind the Door?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that
song,
Kate?
Which is the only one I know by
them. Yeah, that was kind of like they were kind of a one-hit wonder. But I can't believe that none of us have mentioned Muse.
Oh, well.
I was going to until you freaking just did.
Until you,
go ahead, talk about
you
Muse.
You effed it up.
I messed it all up. I stole your thunder.
I think that's a modern-day power trio. They just, again, awesome guitar player. He has really good vocals. Great drummer. Comes up really creative. Of course, Dominic Howard. I can't remember the bass player's name, but he's using really like heavy distortion. It gives it a real thick sound when they play. They're doing well commercially. But they also are good musicians, and they write cool songs, but they don't sound like everybody else either. So Muse is kind of doing their own thing, and that to me, that's pretty hip. So that's one that can definitely go down as one of the, maybe in the future, one of the great power trios. Maybe not yet, but for the new generation, we'll say.
Yeah, we'll talk about them in 15
years.
We're
going to talk about a few bands, Stragglers, some lesser known, some bands that you forgot are actually power trios. In a minute, we come back. We're gonna play another band, and we're gonna come back here. This is a band I just discovered today called 86 Bullets.
I like the name.
The album is called Animals and Angels. 86 Bullets together on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Yeah.
messed up, man.
Oh my God.
Stop it.
That's strange.
Well, now you can stop right there, feller. What in the hell?
Hey.
All right, what in the hell? That's 86 bullets. And
that's
let me go ahead and plug those nice, fine young gentlemen. You can go to 80, very, very simple, 86, the number 86bullets.com. We opened the show with Never Wake, and you go to neverwakemusic.com. And we also had Epica in there, and you go to epica.nl. We're going to wrap up the show here in a few minutes with Silk 9, Pittsburgh's own Silk 9. Great band, right, Lily?
They are a great band.
Love
I'm very close to them.
And we're going to play a newer track from theirs we haven't played before. So we were kind of going through the list of power trios that maybe we sort of forgotten about, haven't gotten to. Just want to quickly mention bands like, first of all, I want to thank Tim Johnson for chiming in with some of these bands. The Violent Femmes is a power trio. Nirvana, right? They are technically.
Unfortunately, we kind of have to give them a little bit of credit, much to my dismay.
Nirvana is a power trio. Green Day. It's a power trio.
Yeah.
It's a power trio. Got all kind of power.
I can't even do it right.
Tim Johnson. So he also Keith. Both Keith and Tim mentioned Fastball. Right, Keith?
That's right, man. Good job, Tim.
90s band. And here's a couple that are classic bands that I think that we sort of like kind of spaced on. And
I got
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Technically, power trio.
Yeah, it's not technical, but yeah.
And 80s era Genesis.
Yeah, you know, I totally forgot that one.
All the Abacab totally and, you know, all that stuff, you know. All right, you guys got a couple you want to mention before we kind of make our argue about or arm wrestle over what our ultimate pick is?
No, I don't have any others on my list.
Keith?
Yeah, we should all be ashamed of ourselves and put in detention for a week. How could you forget 80s mega Giants, the Thompson Twins were a power trio. There you go.
Oh my God.
Well, if you're gonna
digging up the rarities right there, man. No one would have guessed that shit.
All right. Well, I mean, so are bands like Crowded House, and I mean, there's like tons of like, but a metal band that we forgot we were talking about on our break was Venom. So what are we going to pick, guys? What are we going to pick for the greatest power trio of all time?
I already know my pick. I'm not even going to agree with either of you, I'm sure.
What's your pick?
So my pick is going to be the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
I can't hear what she's saying. What?
The Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Oh, now you've done it. Now you broke it.
I didn't break it. The reason being is because I just think they're the best out of all of them. They were one of the first. They only did have three albums until Jimmy died, of course. And sorry, Mom, but I lost my virginity to one of those songs. So, yeah.
Good Lord.
Sorry. It's kind of important to me.
I think that there
Purple
is.
Haze.
May I sort of draw a little parallel?
You may.
I think there, out of power trios, I think there's a triumvirate of power trios three that are, I think,
the best.
Are the ones. And with the Police as honorable mention, I would say the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Cream, and Rush.
I was thinking those were going to be the
like
three.
The three really kind of like when somebody says power trio,
that's what you immediately
think
of. Your
mind is probably thinking of one of those three somewhere. No, Keith, you don't agree?
You can only pick one, Lou. This is
I'm not only picking.
Pick.
We're narrowing it down.
We're just kind of.
We're talking about it. This is. If we just came out and said, "Okay, Rush is the greatest power trio of all time," it was
and
a 5-second podcast.
Bye.
Goodbye. We're not. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to. I want to talk about how we arrive at our. Like Lily said, she loves the Jimi Hendrix Experience because she got laid.
It was the first time, and it was magical.
So I think when people think power trios, people are probably at least thinking of one of those three. They may be thinking of others, but some of those three are popping into mind. In my opinion, it's Rush all day long, you know, with Hendrix and Cream, you know, in runner-ups, but it's Rush for me. They're just because of the length of the career, everything. I mean, the Jimi Hendrix Experience fizzled out pretty quick. Cream fizzle it out. And here's a bitch about Cream. That was a great freaking band.
They didn't like each other
in the
end.
They couldn't keep it together. And then they got together and did that really lame thing about, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
That concert that was, I thought, was just weak, man. Like, it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. I was like, I love this band, and they went and did this really lame thing, and it just had no fire, no energy. Clapton looked bored. Actually, they all looked bored. And that was a shame. That's, shame on you guys for doing that.
They didn't even want to do it, probably. It was probably just a cash grab.
Yeah,
or something. And they didn't even need that to do that.
But my pick is probably is going to, I'm just, because I got to pick one, is going to be Rush. So Lily picks Jimi Hendrix Experience. Keith, go ahead, buddy. What's your, if you want to talk about how you came to your decision or however, go ahead.
Oh, Mom.
I won't bust on you for it.
I'm going incognito because I can't pick.
He can't pick.
Oh, you wanker. You're a wanker. You wanker.
I refuse to pick between two of my favorite bands of all time. Rush and The Police for me are like 1 and 1A. I don't know what to do. I'm crying like a bitch over here.
Come on,
so
Keith.
What I'm going to do is, I think that, to me, Rush has had the way more longevity, but I'm just thinking about myself being, you know, selfish. Where was I more influenced as a musician? Probably The Police. I love Neil Peart. I love Stuart Copeland. But as a person that's being, against my will, being forced to do something I don't want to do,
just I'm lay back and let him happen.
And say that both of them are the greatest power trio of all time. Thank you very much.
Keith.
The Rush Police.
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't like one just a little bit more? You don't like one just a little bit more? Just like this.
I think you're picking The Police.
I feel like you're on The Police side.
I think you're on The Police side. I think, you know, you're a narc and you're picking The Police.
I think you just don't want to turn on your boys and Rush.
It's hard for me to do this.
I understand.
I mean, I've been thinking about this all week. I haven't slept 3 hours.
What's Tim
for me, it is The Police because I think they are the greatest, you know, maybe not the heaviest for you metalheads out there, rock on, but whatever. Just I'm talking about, they weren't around as long as I would like them to be. I got to see them live. I've seen Rush several times live. It's just one of those bands that just, there's something about those three guys and those two bands make a ton of music. And just, I think the songwriting's great in both bands. Musicianship's great in both bands. It's hard for me to pick. But I think just what is the tiebreaker for me is I'm more influenced as a musician probably by The Police than Rush. So no prog metal for me, I guess. But it's tough, but I'm going to go with The Police as the best power trio of all time.
Okay, thank you. So you get The Police.
I'm surprised.
I'm saying Rush.
Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Lily's saying the Jimi Hendrix Experience. I love all three. I love all three of those bands. And
it's kind of hard to argue with this.
It's hard to pick. It is really hard to pick. But I was like, let's pick one.
This is one night where actually we all just have a nice pick. Everybody's just chilling, getting along, making nice picks, and just, you know, I'm drinking whiskey out of a coffee cup, and it's just it's amazing how things can just be so cohesive sometimes.
When you start drinking whiskey either out of a paper cup or a tin cup, then you're getting serious about your whiskey.
Is that true?
As long as I don't drink it out of a Red Solo cup, we'll be okay.
Out of a what?
You know what I mean.
Red Solo cup.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so officially, the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus picks Rush as the greatest power trio of all time.
Wow, that's one-sided. Jesus, no, that's not one I would ever pick, and you know that. I am not saying that.
I see a comment there by Tim.
He brought up Nirvana, one of the bands that changed music, which I agree, which is why I was okay with mentioning it, even though it's not something I like. But yeah, it's unfortunately one of those ones that changed music, and it's important.
What about the Frank Rodriguez band?
I don't know who that.
Thank you, Frank, for chiming in on our post. And I need, if you want me to check out your band, send it to me, man. I'll glad to check them out. And a band that we should mean, Daniel Mata mentioned these guys, and we were talking about them during the last song break, is Government Mule. And that's a great power trio. They were a trio in fact, that was the concept of the band when those guys got together. It was like, what happened to Cream? Like, let's do Cream. And that's basically what Government Mule was. So, in my opinion, what they did was way better than that. Like, embarrassing blasphemy cream so-called cream reunion that happened.
That lazy
thing
that they did.
It was lazy. It was like, you know, all right, just give us the money. You know, we'll all three get on stage. We hate each other's guts.
We'll play and we'll leave.
We'll play. We'll just play our hits. And okay, yeah, all right. Jude, what's his name? Jude Law was in the audience. That's great. And, you know, good night.
The real rock and roll.
Yeah, no, he's a real rock and roll.
Movie again.
Hey Jude, get the F out. You don't know even one song by Cream because you're a young. Okay.
I'm younger than him, I think.
We are going to get out of here. Guys, go ahead, round the room. Anything else because you want to end up with, talk about, plug before we go? Start with the Keithster down there in Nolens.
I think someday down here I'll get to play a gig soon without it being canceled. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. If I come back down there and you play, I'm going to cover you for the show.
With my power trio, Black Laurel, there you go.
There you go.
So hopefully we'll be on the Lou Danny Rock and Metal Circus interviews circuit here soon.
Awesome.
Well, my power trio is us.
We are a power trio.
But
well, this is the greatest. Here's the greatest power trio of all time. The Lou Danny Rock and Metal Circus.
Right here.
Right here.
But just want to say, listen to my show Thursday nights, Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Rock Rage Radio. Download the app. Go to the website. Simple. 6 o'clock on Thursdays. Nothing else. I got nothing else going on.
I got
for
nothing.
A minute.
I got nothing.
Until I go to Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, I got nothing.
Marilyn Munchkin. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out. If you haven't already, click the share button on the video. Please share it because we need to promote these bands. The bands that we had tonight were Never Wake, Epica, and 86 Bullets. We're going to rock out here on the way out with Silk 9 here in a second. So please share the podcast. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is the website. Please click the merchandise little square thing up in the right-hand corner there and get yourself some cool stuff. If you'd like to party with us more intimately, you'd like to kind of get in on, maybe weigh in on ahead of time, get your opinion heard, you want to share some music with us, go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, and you can help us keep great guitar-driven rock alive. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Guys, it's been a lot of fun tonight. And so, cool, man. And power trios, I think, are close to any rocker's heart. You know, we all have our favorites. And just one more time, the order of the evening is Keith the Hawk Hawkins is with the Police. Lily V6 is with the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And Lou, a.k.a. Ludini Lombardi, says, Rush. I think this is a great representation of the different types of power trios that have influenced music and been really important to all of us. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. We'll catch you guys on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Don't forget, guys, to patronize these bands. If you're checking out a band, you see some cool stuff, share it around. Let people know about it. Buy their stuff. Go see them live. All right, I'm out of here. We're rocking out with Knife in My Back, Silk 9 on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Catch you guys next week, guys. Step back and don't you lie to me. It's just a travesty. The way you lie and run your mouth, yeah. I know the deep inside of you. These things you'll never do. Yeah, you turn and walk away. Trying to do, your truth is shining through. I'm tired.